This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, cbsmich.org.
This is Full-Time Catholic Radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the Internet at WDEO.net.
Today on More to Life, the science of happiness. Millions are hoping today's record-breaking Powerball drawing will make them happy. Others say money can't buy happiness. Today we'll look at both what psychology and faith have to say about the secret of a happy life.
You want to have a great marriage and family and personal life? Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to be.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Folks, you are listening to More to Life, the show that explores living a more joyful and abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the science of happiness. Now, I don't know if you've heard.
If you haven't heard, then you've
what
been...
What rock do you live under?
You've been living under a snowbank, as many of us are in Ohio today.
But as of today... the Powerball lottery is at a record-breaking, was it $1.5 billion?
I know it's over a billion. I've lost track of how far.
It's at least 1.5.
And it will be larger by tonight because everybody's going to be grabbing tickets on their way home. I know I'll probably pick up a ticket when I go out this afternoon to take our daughter to dance.
It could easily hit about $1.7 billion by this evening.
That is extraordinary.
And there are a lot of people hoping to buy themselves some happiness with that ticket. We were watching a news report where somebody was interviewing, you know, what would you do if you won, that kind of a thing, you know. And they were coming up with some pretty outlandish things.
My biggest, in fact, our prayer as a family when they drew the ticket last Wednesday and Wednesday, is God, please give it to somebody who's going to give you glory and do good things with it. I don't care who wins it. Would we like to win it?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
We don't need one. The world does not need one more idiot with a super yacht. You know.
Well, yes, and we're just doing the gentleman, and we will not repeat what he said. But the gentleman that we read the article about really said some vulgar things that he would do with it, and that would just be heartbreaking. Like for God to bless somebody and allow somebody this, and it would be a chance to prove your medal. Are you the good person you believe you are or aren't you when you're blessed with that kind of riches?
But, you know, the idea here, of course, is that somehow, you know, a lot of people think that money is going to buy us happiness. And, of course, that's not the case. There's an entire science of happiness, believe it or not, called positive psychology that studies happy people and tries to figure out what's wrong with them. You know, why are they so darn happy all the time? And what can we learn from them about what it takes to lead a happy life? Money plays a relatively minor role in the happiness algorithm, if you will, in the sense that you know, once you have enough money to meet your basic needs, then the happiness that one gets from money tends to drop off pretty significantly, according to all the research. And there's a lot of interesting stuff out there about what it really takes to live a happy life. We've talked about some of that on the program before, and we'll unpack even more today on More to Life. But as far as, you know, how the lottery will benefit us one way or the other, Mark Cuban, who is, of course, a famous billionaire, a film producer, he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and several of the cable networks, all that, he actually gave some advice to the person who will be that Powerball billionaire. What he said was, I just lost the quote. I apologize. He said the first thing you should do is hire a tax attorney.
Please, if one of our listeners happens to do this, don't do anything idiotic until you've consulted a very good, trustworthy tax
and then secondly, remember that the Pastoral Solutions Institute is a 501c3. So for your tax deduction.
And so are the Catholic radio stations to which you are listening.
Anyway, Mark Cuban goes on to say, if you weren't happy yesterday, you won't be happy tomorrow after winning Powerball. It's money, not happiness. He should know. After all,
a lot of people are saying, well, let me test that out.
Exactly.
Many are.
But it's true. I mean, like I said, the research really shows that once you have enough money to meet your basic needs, the happiness you get from money does tend to drop off, with a couple of exceptions. Money does, quote-unquote, buy happiness if you give it away. Research tends to show that people who are charitable in their giving do tend to be happier on average than those who hoard their money. And secondly, if you use your money to purchase experiences for you and the people that you love.
And so, see, I think that it's important to underline the you and the people that you love.
Right.
This isn't about, oh, I'll take the trip around the world all by myself. I will, you know, learn how to fly a plane all by myself. It's not about accumulating experiences to be able to check things off that, you know, I've done.
The bucket list, so much.
Good way of putting it, you know, because that's just doing something to impress other people or to push a boundary, and it's not lasting. But when you build memories with the people that you really care about, and therefore really build up the relationship. It's not about, well, I just took the entire extended family on, you know, this 56-day cruise. It's what did you do on that cruise? Did you love each other? Did you laugh together? Did you get to know each other in a deeper way? That's what's going to build up that happiness set point.
And either way, though, the idea, again, is investing the money in people, either through charitable giving or by using what blessings you have to benefit those around you in terms of creating experiences where you can experience connection. Through those experiences. Those are the ways that money tends to be correlated with happiness beyond basic needs. But we're going to talk about the science of happiness today on the program. And you might say, well, you know, what does happiness have to do with our faith anyway? God wants us to be holy, not happy. But that's not true. They're not mutually exclusive things. In fact, Pope St. John Paul the Great, who gave us the theology of the body, said people are made for happiness. Rightly, we thirst for happiness, and Christ has the answer to this desire of ours, and he asks us to trust him. Pope Benedict XVI agreed with Pope St. John Paul the Great, saying, God wants us to be happy always. He knows us, and he loves us, and if we allow the love of Christ to change our hearts, then we can change the world. And this is the secret of authentic happiness. Back in 2014, Pope Francis gave an interview where he listed a 10-point plan for how we could all achieve greater happiness in this life. And we're going to actually go over Pope Francis's 10-point plan for happiness. What I also did in preparation for the show is I took each of those points and I found corresponding studies to support and expand on his points so that we have the look, we can look at happiness from and science today.
But as you and I always say, Greg, you know, you have all of these social scientists who come up with, you know, the research says such and such. It's like climbing a big mountain and then getting to the top and finding the papal flag already planted there. Most of this science that they spend so many dollars on often ends up just being what the church has been teaching us for 2,000 plus years anyway.
So we're asking you to call up and share, though. What are the little blessings or joys that bring you happiness in the course of your week? What are those little things that contribute to your overall sense of happiness? And secondly, what are those frustrations, big or small, that tend to threaten your experience of happiness in your day-to-day life? Either way, we want to hear from you. And let's say, the second caller today will win a copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. It's a book I did for Image Books and Doubleday that looks at God's plan for our happiness and fulfillment, and it will help you identify God's plan for fulfilling the deepest longings of your heart. Again, that's Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Just came out in July through Doubleday. It can be yours if you are the second caller today, responding to one of our two questions, or both if you like. What are the little blessings or joys that bring you happiness in the course of your week? and what frustrations, big or small, tend to threaten your happiness in your day-to-day life. You can win a copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart if you are the second caller responding to one of these two questions. What little blessings or joys bring you happiness in the course of your week, or what frustrations, big or small, tend to threaten your happiness in your day-to-day life? You can also post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. And that's, again, with the number 2, facebook.com/more2liferadio. There's already a great conversation going on there. You should check out that conversation. Make sure you like the page so you get regular updates about More to Life Radio and regular opportunities to respond to our question of the day, because your voice matters. Either way, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. What little blessings or joys bring you happiness in the course of your week? What frustrations, big or small, tend to threaten your happiness in your day-to-day life? With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you and praise you for all of the blessings that you give to us, all of the ways you work for our happiness. Lord, your grace works for our joy and our integration, our wholeness and healing every day. You call us to become everything that you created us to be, and in that process of becoming, we achieve greater and greater happiness as we draw closer to you and closer to living out your will in our lives. We ask you, Lord, to be with all those who are struggling, all those who are suffering, all of those for whom happiness seems far away. We ask that you would give all of us an extra measure of your grace, that we might seek authentic happiness, rooted not in selfish pleasure or the mere avoidance of conflict, but authentic happiness that is rooted in the pursuit of a meaningful life, intimate connection with others, and the pursuit of virtue, that we might have all the strength that we need to take whatever life throws at us and use it as an opportunity for growth, for grace, and for healing. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking about the science of happiness. You know, millions of people are hoping. they're hoping. Yeah, it sounds like a M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Hoping.
Oh, Chloe, thank you for that image in my head.
No, the science of happiness. Millions of people are hoping that the record-breaking Powerball drawing will make them happy tonight. But we all know that money can't buy us happiness. So today, we're looking at what both psychology and our faith have to say about the secrets of living a happy life. Hopefully, we'll make one person a little happier today. We're asking for the second commenter to call in response to our question of the day. You'll win a copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, it's 877-573-7825. And share your response to our questions of the day, either one or both if you like. What little blessings or joys bring you happiness in the course of your week? Or what are the frustrations, big or small, that tend to threaten your happiness in your day-to-day life? 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we're going to be sharing 10 points from Pope Francis's 10-point plan for a happier life. We'll also be talking with Father Thomas Loya in just a few minutes, so get in on the conversation and tell us what little blessings or joys give you happiness or what frustrations threaten it. 877-573-7825. Let's take a comment from one of our listeners. Lisa, who's
up? I have to kick off the day with Sarah's comment on Facebook today. She says, my grandmother always says, when I win Powerball, I'm going to build you a house. Well, first of all, what a sweet grandma. But Sarah says, I think, yeah, that'd be nice. But it doesn't make us any less happy that our family of five is living in a one-bedroom apartment right now. It's cozy, but we have each other and we have God. And gratitude goes a long way. My husband is in school pursuing a degree in a field he loves, and I'm able to stay home with the kids. We are thankful to be doing what we love and trusting that God provides, which He has. Someday, we'll have a house. But when we focus on each other and living a loving family life, that's what makes us happy. And I love this comment because, boy, is Sarah speaking from a place of her reality, where it's not somebody who's saying, oh, yeah, money doesn't buy happiness. Five family members living in a one-bedroom apartment, and yes, as Sarah said, it is cozy. And I have many friends who live in houses much smaller than their family size. And while it can be frustrating, it can be cluttered sometimes, it can be noisy sometimes, most of the people that I know who are living in homes that are smaller than their family size will say the same thing. We get to be together. You know, I've had many people that I know who move from smaller houses to much larger houses, and they'll say, I don't get to see my family as much. You know, one person's watching TV in one living room, the other person's watching TV in their bedroom, and we're scattered. We don't see each other as much. It teaches, if we work on it, the way Sarah's talking about them really doing, focusing on the gratitude, focusing on the loving of the family, it teaches us a lot of beautiful things about, as she said, coziness, getting along, how to become one with each other in a way that we don't have to if we have tons of room to spread out. And I love the fact that, you know, that she's saying she's home with the kids and she loves this. And that testimony, I think, is amazing, because she could certainly say, hey, maybe we could afford a two-bedroom or a little bit more space if I went back to work. But she's home with her kids, and she knows that's one less income, but she also knows that second income probably wouldn't give them that much more by the time she paid for daycare and everything else. And she's made a choice to live a life that allows them to pursue what they love. Her husband's degree, her being home with the family, them creating a beautiful united family life. Good on you, Sarah. I'm so glad you commented today.
There's a great song. I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with this Christian artist, Sarah Groves. She's one of my favorite musicians. And she does some terrific work. She has a song called All I Need. And it's a cute little song about a newly married couple who is, you know, trying to make it the best that they can. And each verse, they get a little bit wealthier, you know, as time goes by.
As time goes by.
So the first verse, you know, she sings about how someday we'll be able to afford that garbage can we saw, you know. and then, like, by the fifth verse, she's like, all I need is the Christmas bonus for a wooden walrus.
You know,
the first part of the verse is about how she came across this guy at a craft show that makes animals out of driftwood, and all we need is the Christmas bonus for a wooden walrus. You know, and we, you know, the more we have, the more we spend on silly things, hoping that they'll make us happy. But really, it's about what Sarah was talking about, creating those meaningful connections in the circumstances that we have. You know, is a five-member family in a one-bedroom apartment ideal? Certainly not. But I think that, you know, even when her husband graduates from school and is established in his career and they're in a place where they're going to use the Christmas bonus for a wooden walrus, you know, they're going to look back on these times with real joy, and look and consider, you know, that this time, with all of its stresses, was probably one of the most blessed times of their lives together. We'll certainly keep you in our prayers, Sarah. 877-573-7825. The second caller today wins a copy of Broken God's Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up next?
We're talking with Sabrina, listening in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi there, Sabrina. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, thank you. I'm calling to answer the question that you have, what brings you more joy during my week? That would be having silence. I'm a college student, and things are very hectic and busy a lot of the time. And so at the end of the evening, when I can come home and just find some silence, is beautiful. And another thing would be to play with my 4-year-old nephew and my 2-year-old nephew. I've never been around little children, so they're my first encounter. But they are so funny, and they do a lot of sweet things that I never would have imagined a little kid could do.
Well, and that's absolutely terrific. And a couple of things here I want to highlight. First of all, when you talk about silence, we don't have a lot of quiet in our life in general, do we? But it takes that effort to cultivate silence. In fact, number 3 on Pope Francis' 10-point plan for a happier life is creating calm. And in fact, there's a lot of research that talks about mindfulness, about creating space in your day to just be quiet and reflect. Reflect on the blessings, reflect on the challenges, just reflect on where you're at, where you'd like to be, what small steps you need to take to get there, and how God's grace is present in that moment, enabling you to use whatever life is throwing at you to come to that next place. Sabrina, I want to thank you so much for your call. We're going to add you to our Mortal Life prayer list here so that God would bless your studies and enable you to experience happiness in your place in life and more happiness as you play with your family members and you get that time together with those nieces and nephews and cousins and all that. God
and
bless
you're
you,
probably
thank you.
Giving the mommies of those children a lot of happiness when you're over there and giving them a little bit of a break. Not having to keep their eyes peeled quite as intensely when
That's
they
right.
have somebody who's there helping out.
Thanks for calling in and sharing, Sabrina. God bless you.
Thank you.
We got to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He's a pastor, a psychologist, an artist, and he's going to share with us about how to keep the happy spirit of Christmas alive in our hearts, even though the Christmas season is over. And so he celebrated the baptism of the Lord last Sunday. The Christmas season is over, but the happiness doesn't have to end. Father Loya is going to share with us some great ideas for continuing that spirit of Christmas all year long. We'll continue talking with you after that about what makes you happy or what frustrates that happiness. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. We're asking you, what are the little blessings or joys that bring you happiness in the course of your week? Or what are the frustrations, big or small, that tend to threaten your happiness in your day-to-day life? I said earlier that the second caller today would win a copy of my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the 7 Longings of the Human Heart. It's a book that explores God's plan for fulfilling our deepest desires and our longing for authentic happiness. Since we've already had one call, our very next caller will win. Who will that be? Could it be you? Well, maybe. 877-573-7825. Stick around for after the break. We'll be talking with Father Thomas Loya and you on Mortal Life's edition of The Science of Happiness. Stick around.
Light of the East. Weekend on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the Eastern Christian churches, both Catholic and Orthodox, face similar challenges of growth and survival. These challenges are best met by taking an honest look at the gifts of these churches.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Sally Cresta. My husband Al and I have sent our children to Spiritus Sanctus Academies for over 15 years. One of our sons is a graduate and teaches there. We were drawn by the truth and beauty of the Dominican tradition, educating the whole child, spiritual, physical, intellectual, and social. Come and see the schools where the program Education and Virtue originated.
Please join us at our next open house scheduled for February 3rd. Mass begins at 8 a.m. with the open house running until 2:30 at both Plymouth and Ann Arbor locations.
On the evening of February 25th, 2013, Dr. Peter Kraft spoke to Sacred Heart Major Seminary students and guests about the new evangelism.
How shall we answer our question? What does the new evangelization need the most? Well, we first should define terms. It's a very useful and helpful thing to do, to define terms, because when you define your terms, you know what you're talking about. And when you don't know what you're talking about, well, you don't know what you're talking about. What is the new evangelization? It is not a new evangel, it is a new ization. It's not a new gospel, it's the old gospel.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Sacred Heart Major Seminary's auditorium is jammed. You won't want to miss Dr. Peter Graft at the seminary on the next Putting On the Mind of Christ. It's heard this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about the science of happiness. You know, millions of people are hoping today's record-breaking Powerball drawing will make them happy. But, of course, we all know that money can't buy us happiness. So we're looking at what both psychology and our faith has to say about the secret of living a happier life. Give us a call and share what are the little joys, the little blessings that help you have a happier week, or for that matter, what frustrations, big or small, contribute or tend to rather threaten your experience of happiness in your day-to-day life. Give us a call. The very next caller will win a copy of my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, which takes a look at God's plan for fulfilling our deepest desires and how God wants to make us happy. And that's 877-573-7825 to get in on the conversation. Right now, joining us is Father Thomas Lea. He is a pastor, a psychologist, an artist, and the director and founder of the Tabor Life Institute, which promotes the theology of the body and teachings of Pope St. John Paul the Great. He's here today to talk to us about how we can keep the happy spirit of Christmas alive, even though the Christmas season is now officially past. Father Thomas Lea, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you very much. Great to be here, and a blessed New Year to you and to everybody listening.
Thank you, sir. Blessed New Year to you as well. So, you are right. You know, the season of Christmas is officially wrapped up on the church calendar. Last Sunday, of course, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. And so now it's done. You know, the decorations are being packed up, and if anybody still had stuff out. And now it's all over, right? Now we'd be...
Yeah, in fact, well, I know. Just before the program this morning, as you know, I got ready for it, I was taking down some Christmas ornaments yet.
Yes, I have to say, we've got everything inside taken down, but outside, there's too much snow and too much cold. We haven't quite gotten to it yet.
Yeah, I know. You know, and isn't it ironic that we have to talk about and try to pump ourselves up to be happy at this time? It should actually be the opposite, really. We should have been catapulted into a whole new kind of happiness as a result of having come through and experienced Christmas. You know, I have a little happiness formula that I like to use. I call it the H zone, stepping into the H zone. It's called H because it's all H words, beginning with a theology of body word, honesty. You know, John Paul II says being honest to the language of the body is what is, you know, truthful and right. But you apply that to everything in life. And if we are honest, then that necessarily will bring about the other H word, holiness, which then brings about happiness, and that brings us to the big H, heaven. So it kind of works that way, very simply. It's all about honesty. And I would say that right now, that one of the best things we can do, I know I do it with myself, you know, as I'm taking out the Christmas ornaments, it's a little bit sad, depressing, but then I think about it. I say, wait a minute, I got to be honest to myself, honest about what this season is. This season that we just came through is just the beginning. It's not like we pack it away like we pack away Christmas ornaments. The season we just came through is just the beginning for us. Like I said, it catapults us into an H zone, a happiness zone, because, and if we actually tell ourselves that God has, in truth, he has become incarnate. He is among us. We celebrated Christmas so as to immerse ourselves in the truth of that, how real that is. And if that is real, then our lives should be different. The way we look at everything should be different. In other words, we retain that reality that we celebrated with all the decorations and the gifts and the prayers and liturgy and stuff like that. We celebrated that.
Well, in a sense, then, you know, the end of the Christmas season is really the beginning of our new way of looking at life now that Christ has been born, he's become incarnate, and has, in a sense, sanctified the entire world through his coming. And so this ordinary time is anything but ordinary. It's an opportunity to enter into the mystery in a deeper way. And yes, of course, that happiness should stay with us, even once we pack everything up after the holidays.
Exactly. And This is why riding the rhythms, the waves of the church, the liturgy of the church is so helpful. Because, you know, Dr. Gregory and Lisa, sometimes what we do is I think we tend to go with the rhythm of the secular world, which is very compartmentalized. You know, it's, okay, we did Christmas. Now it's done. Well, now what? Well, things are kind of depressing now. No, no, no. The way the church says it is that, yeah, we came through Christmas, and Christmas has now launched us into this new way of looking at things and living. And a couple little practical ways is just to, one of the callers I heard said about silence. Yeah, so like stop, just stop for a moment from time to time. I do this myself, and it's really marvelous. It's very simple, as all truthful things are. They're simple but profound. Just stop from time to time. Look up in the sky. Look at nature. Look at beauty. You know, we're all, you know, we get mad because it's cold and snowy and all that, but just stop and look at the beauty of that snow just for a moment. And in that moment, if you really do that, if you really just stop and contemplate nature and God, God is manifested in the order of his creation, it does really touch your heart. You know, and you can go on there. It kind of brings you back to base. It gives you a greater peace. It kind of puts everything into perspective, like everything falls into place in that moment. Then you can continue on with whatever you're wrestling with that day. But you sort of touch base, like you touch home with that. And so you tell yourself, you know, God really is among us. It has changed things. My attitude should be different. And then we ask ourselves, too, like a little self-inventory. What are the little things in my life, especially go with the little things. What are the little things in my life that might be in the way of my making that gift of self or even of receiving someone else's gift of self? Another thing that I do that I find helpful is as I work with people and watch them, I just focus on them, and I'll look at that person and think to myself, look at the gifts that they have. Look at how does God speak through this person, their particular gifts. You know, how is God speaking to me through this person's gifts? No matter what they're like or what their pluses and minuses are, you look at them and you say, this is a unique individual that has a gift that I have to perceive, that I am better off experiencing that gift. So I guess what I'm proposing here is things that are rather internal but are very, I might say, contemplative or reflective. It's like taking the experience of the incarnation and really making it, taking it really into our soul, into our heart, making it our fundamental ethos of how we see and experience everything. We have to know, too, always it's good to prepare mentally, psychologically, spiritually. We have to know that this time of year, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more challenging to be happy. Because, you know, we have come off a kind of a high, but we don't want to cold turkey like the world does. We don't want to crash out of Christmas. We want to sort of come out of it with this sort of residue, that this being imbued now with this new way of looking at things. It's got to be formative. That's the whole point. It should reform and form how we look at things. And the best way to do that is in the little moments of our lives, the little things we see, being God conscious about it, and just kind of like stopping ourselves. When we feel anger coming on or a little sadness or a little impatience, which is very, very easy this time of year, just kind of stop ourselves, brace ourselves, and wait a minute. Let's get back into perspective. Let's be honest now. Go in the eight zone. God is among us. Let me see God. Where am I seeing God? Where is God speaking? How can I celebrate him? How can I be grateful? How can I make that gift of self?
We've got to wrap it up, but I want to thank you because your segment has been a particular inspiration to me today, reminding me that Christmas is not an event. It's an experience, and we should let that experience transform our hearts and our way of looking at everything. Thank you for reminding us of that incredibly important point as we move forward. And as folks would like to learn more about the Tabor Life Institute and your good work promoting the theology of the body, where can they turn for more information?
Our website, taborlife.org.
And that's T-A-B-O-R, like Mount Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, life.org. Father Thomas Loya, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're continuing our look at the science of happiness today. You know, millions of people are hoping that today's record-breaking Powerball drawing will make them happy. We know that money can't buy you happiness, but what does create happiness? We're talking about it. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. The very next caller in response to our question of the day will win a copy of my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Who will it be? Could it be you? Find out after the break.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
What composes a society? The Catholic Catechism says human beings need to live in society. It is there that we develop our potential. The Catechism defines a society as a group of persons bound together by a principle of unity that goes beyond each one of them. A society endures through time. We owe loyalty to the communities that we are part of which are defined by their purpose. All social institutions, however, ought to have the human person as its principle, subject, and end. The societies of family and of state are necessary to the nature of man. Other societies, such as voluntary associations and institutions, are encouraged for economic, cultural, athletic, and professional reasons. The Church warns against certain types of socialization wherein excessive intervention of the state threatens personal freedom and initiative. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. New parents all have the same question. How do we get this new baby that we just made grow up to be a child who loves God? The answer lies in you. A child's capacity to trust God is learned at a very early age and is modeled after her ability to trust you. Little things such as how long your child cries before you respond to her could impact the degree to which your child is capable of trusting God and others later. If you're worried about your child's spiritual formation, remember that holiness and a love for God is learned first at home. What can you do today to demonstrate the love of God for your child? Well, you could dive a little deeper into self-donation. The little decisions you make now will have a lasting impact on how much your child trusts and loves God in the future. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Folks, you're listening to More to Life. Our show today is titled The Science of Happiness. You know, millions of people are hoping that today's record-breaking Powerball drawing is going to make them happy. But we know that money can't buy happiness, so we're looking today at what both psychology, the science of happiness, and our faith has to say about the secrets of living a happy life. We're sharing some great points from Pope Francis's 10-point plan for living a happier life today, and also the research that backs up those exciting faith-based points. But we're also taking your calls about what makes you happy. What are those little blessings or joys that bring you happiness in the course of your week? Or for that matter, what are the frustrations, big or small, that tend to threaten your experience of happiness in your day-to-day life? We want to remove those obstacles to happiness. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. The very next caller will win a copy of my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, a book about God's plan for fulfilling the deepest longings of our heart and making us happy in His grace. And the winner of that book, Lisa, is who?
Is Susan, listening in Michigan on the Ave Maria Radio.
Hey, Susan, I don't know if you win Powerball, but congratulations. You won a copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. Hope that helps out a little bit.
Wow, that's thrilling.
It's a port, hopefully it's a good omen,
maybe
a portent of things to come.
Yeah, one day.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to go buy a Powerball thing.
There you go.
I never buy those things today.
So what's your comment for us today, Susan?
Being connected to my children. I have seven adult children, and they all live in different areas. And when they connect with me, either through just texting during their day, telling me something about their lives, or calling me, it's just very gratifying that they want to still talk to me and maintain a relationship and share their joy.
Isn't that nice? I mean, I know that sounds silly to say, right? But when we have adult children and they actually want to hang out with us, it's such a gift.
Well, I really didn't want to hang out with my parents. So I'm really happy that they I was a homeschooling mom, and I homeschooled the last two through high school. And my youngest son, I mean, they all have college degrees now. My youngest son just called me and said, I got my associates. And I'm like, cool, I did something right, you know.
Not so much for getting the degree, but because he called you to share the joy.
That's right, exactly. And, you know, I come from a very large family of 17. And when they're all over the country, and if anybody calls me, I'm thrilled, you know. Because if they initiate it, especially, because it means that they think enough of you to give you a call and share their life.
It's true. You know, and I think that there are a lot of people. I heard you right. You said you're one of 17 children. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're one of 17 children. You know, there are a lot of people who grew up in homes of 17 children. Not a lot of you out there in general, but those who did grow up in larger families, we know a lot who have grown up in families of 10, 11, 12, will say, no, I'm kind of done with all that connection. It's too much. So it's beautiful that you're saying these connections really matter to you. You're glad that they want to still be part of your life. You've worked very hard to make that happen and made a lot of sacrifices to make that happen as a homeschooling mom. So thanks for sharing that joy today, because I think there are a lot of moms out there and dads who are dealing with much younger kids and probably having a hard day and probably wondering if all this work is going to pay off, and they really needed to hear it from your perspective today.
God bless you, and thanks so much for
the
call.
Thank you. God bless you.
And hang on, because you got to give your address to our call screener, Dan, who give it to us so we can get that copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart out to you so that you can discover how God wants to make you happy by fulfilling the deepest longings of your heart. God bless you, Susan. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Greg, we're going right now to talk with Annette, listening in New Orleans on Catholic Community Radio.
Hi, Annette. Welcome to More to Life. Annette, are you there? Annette Nolan's going once.
Maybe there. Dan might be taking Susan's number. Annette's not there right now.
Well, we lost Annette.
We lost her. Annette, give us a call back. We want to hear from you today. You know, I really want to take this moment as Annette's dropped off to start to talk about something that I...
This radio program is experiencing some brief technical difficulties. Hearing this message means the producer of the program is aware and is actively working on the problem. Thank you for your patience. This radio program is experiencing some brief technical difficulties. Hearing this message means the producer of the program is aware and is actively working on the problem. Thank you for your patience.
Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio programming. Myler and Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic Radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500 or on the web at mspccpa.com.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. The new evangelization announced by John Paul the Great is to convert the baptized, the sacramentalized, not the evangelized, and the many Christians at risk in our hostile culture. The decree on the laity tells us that we are to evangelize, sanctify, penetrate, and perfect the temporal order. In other words, by virtue of our baptism, we are missionaries sent to witness to the gospel in practical ways through our marriages, our openness to life, the way we conduct our businesses, the way we go to school, entertain ourselves, through our political expression, and the way that we live out there. Is there enough evidence to convict us of being Christians? Let us tighten up our ships through conversion and repentance, through frequent use of the sacraments, and through a daily encounter with our living Lord Jesus Christ. Only then can we fulfill the missionary call on each of our lives and truly be part of the new evangelization.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Now that it's the new year, everyone wants to eat healthy. Want to get fresh? Lentil Mediterranean Grill is a fast casual restaurant that offers a fresh, healthy Mediterranean cuisine. You can create your own sandwich or rice bowl with several topping options. They also have gluten-free options and great catering options. They're located next to the Shrine of the Little Flower Church on Woodward, north of 12 Mile. Visit Lentil Mediterranean Grill today. And from our family to yours, God bless and have a blessed new year.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us on More to Life. Forgive us for the little interruption there. We had a power outage in the middle of a live radio show. That never bodes well, but thanks be to God, everything's back on again.
And in our show titled The Science of Happiness, one of the secrets of happiness is being able to roll with the punches. So we are here, and we're glad you stuck with us, hopefully. So we're talking about the science of happiness today. And sharing with you Pope Francis' 10-point plan for a happier life that he shared in an interview last year. And we're with each of the points, I've done a little extra work and gone out and found some studies that support and expand on each of those things to be able to say, well, what makes you happier? Well, let's take a look at some of those points right here. Number one, Pope Francis says, keep your eyes on your own paper. You know, and that's, you know, that's really important to keep that in mind. All psychology consistently reminds us that the only way to be a positive influence in other people's lives is to master ourselves first. That's what it really takes to be able to live a happy life, is to stop looking at what everybody else has and what everybody else has done, and instead be grateful for the blessings that God is working in your life.
And that goes both ways. It's not just that looking and comparing yourselves to those who seem more affluent. It's also looking at what I'll put in quotes, air quotes, as the pains of the world. Yeah. So many people, you know, will look at all the pain in the world and say they're struggling with their faith because of it. But one of the things that we can never do by looking at somebody else's paper, as it were, is know what God is doing in their hearts, what grace is going on. And you know that from your own godly life. It's very rare when we feel a movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives where God's really come through that we discuss that very openly with people, that we make a big deal about it, because sometimes there are no words that will suffice to say, I've had this moment with God. And if people just look at us from the outside, they may never see what's happening in our spiritual interior life. So keeping your eyes on your own paper in both the good and the bad comparisons with others is a very wise thing to do. Just you and God, work it out.
Pope Francis' second point for living a happier life is be giving to others. And this echoes strongly with the theology of the body, which tells us that the secret to happiness is self-donation, using all the things that God has given to us as a gift to work for the good of others. And the science of happiness, positive psychology, affirms that as well, reminding us that when we are charitable with our money and our time, that people who are charitable, generally speaking, are happier than people who hoard their possessions for themselves. Likewise, the science of happiness, positive psychology, tells us that when we make a gift of ourselves, of our treasure and our talent and our abilities, we live a more meaningful life. which contributes to what psychologists call authentic happiness, which is the kind of happiness that lasts much longer than mere pleasure, enjoyment, or the avoidance of conflict. 877-573-7825. We're sharing some of the things that Pope Francis says would lead to a happier life. But what makes you happy? What are those little blessings or joys that bring you happiness in the course of your week, or for that matter, what are the frustrations, big or small, that tend to threaten your experience of happiness in your day-to-day life? Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
Now we're talking with Allison, listening on Divine Mercy Radio in Kansas.
Hey, Allison, welcome to Word of Life.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know where you are exactly, but we're going to be out in Kansas City at the end of February. So if you're anywhere near there, check us out. We're going to be talking on raising moral kids in an immoral world, and we're also going to do a talk on marriage for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm in western Kansas in Hayes, so it's a little bit out of, well, it's about 4 hours, 4.5 hours from Kansas City. So.
Well, you'll have to have us out in Hayes, though. So, anyways,
or you can drive.
But welcome today. We're glad to be talking with you now. So what makes you happy, Allison, other than talking with us on More to Life Radio?
Of course. A couple of your other callers have already said, you know, just seeing, and actually I was referring back to what Father Thomas said earlier on your show, you know, about where can I see God, and searching God out. I'm looking at my daughter right now, and she's looking a little bit like the mother, you know, the Blessed Mother, and a little bit like Superman. So, you know, just seeing God in your kids. And I think, you know, like just everybody has those times when the kids are arguing, but when you see them just sitting side by side together and they're watching the same movie without arguing, or, you know, even little things that my husband would say, you know, the little things that we can do for each other. And none of the things that I think really bring me a lot of happiness maybe come from internally, you know, come from myself, that are things that I observe and that happen to me externally, you know, from other people. So, I don't know, we had a priest when I was growing up, Monsignor George Hussman, and he always said, you know, ask God every day, God, you know, please show me you in the people I interact with. And so I see that in my kids every day. I work from home, and so they're the people I spend the most time with, so I have the opportunity a lot of times to see him in them.
God bless you, Allison. Thank you so much for your call. What a pleasure.
I love that you shared what Monsignor said, because too often when we hear that, and certainly Pope Francis speaks to this a great deal in terms of seeing Jesus in the poor and those who are disenfranchised in some way. But I think Monsignor, what he said means even more than that. It means seeing Jesus in everyone, and seeing Jesus in that child who's running to you with the love in their eyes and their arms outstretched. That's how Jesus runs to us. You know, he loves us that much. As much as we see this outpouring of love from our children sometimes, and we think, oh, they're going to grow up and get over that, Jesus never gets over that. And as our last caller, you know, said, her kids haven't gotten over that. And Susan was right. You know, if you have that deep relationship, if you foster it, you can see Christ in one another, in the joy, in the love, in the wanting to be together, as well as in the hard times and the things that we have to look a little deeper and give a little more to.
Allison, it was a pleasure talking with you. God bless you and your family. And if there's anything else we can do for you, don't hesitate to give us a call. Thanks for being part of the More to Life family today.
Thank you so much.
God bless. We are talking with you about happiness today on our show titled The Science of Happiness. You know, so many people are hoping to get happy by winning Powerball tonight, but we know that money can't buy happiness. What does? Well, we're exploring that today. And we've been sharing throughout the program some of Pope Francis's 10-point plan for leading a happier life, including things like keep your eyes on your own paper, be giving to others, cultivate calm, like we were talking about with a previous caller as well, make time to play is the fourth point on his plan. He says often, waste time with your children.
Yeah.
Really just take time for that carefree timelessness that enables you to enjoy the people and the blessings of your life as a gift.
And I think we saw Pope John Paul II do that so much, as he gave the world the theology of the body, and he would go with these young people up into the mountains and have picnics and go boating and do all these things that really gave them a chance to play with one another and clear their minds to make some room for God.
Human beings are the only animals that take leisure time. Pope Francis says, number 5, make Sundays holidays. Make sure that we're taking those
times
to celebrate Sundays as holidays, as important family time, as time to relax, as time to enjoy the life that God has given us and the people that God has given us to share that life with. Number 6 on Pope Francis's plan for a happier life, seek out opportunities to be creative and productive. Number 7 is challenge your negativity. Number 8, spend some time in nature, like you were just talking about, Lisa, mm-hmm. Pope St. John Paul the Great's example. Number 9, don't turn people into projects. In other words, if we're going to share our faith, we should witness as opposed to proselytizing. You know, don't talk at people, witness to them. And number 10, work to create peace in your life, family, and community. All of these points from Pope Francis's 10-point plan for living a happier life are supported by the science of happiness, positive psychology, over and over again. And we talk about all of those points in our resources that we publish through various publishers and are all available on our website at moretoliferadio.com, including the book that we featured today, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, which is a book that just came out in July that I did for Image Books, Doubleday, that takes a look at God's plan for fulfilling the deepest longings of our hearts and how he wants to make us all happy as well as holy. That's Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. You can find that on our website along with many other resources to help you live a more joyful, effective, an abundant life. Check it out at our website, moretoliferadio.com, where you can learn about that and all of our Pastoral Solution Institute's great resources, including the telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help you live a more joyful and abundant life. You can get more information about that at the site or call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. Again, that's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, appointment line, 740-266-6461. It's been a pleasure talking with all of you. This is our happiest hour of the day, as we've been talking about happiness throughout the program. We hope that you will have a very blessed and a very happy day, and that you will remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Don't you dare settle. And let God's blessing be in your heart and the heart of all of those that you love. See you tomorrow.
To Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, Chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Vocation. The word means a calling. Through baptism, you and I, each of us, is called by God to be his children. We're called to be Catholic Christians, led and nourished by God through his church. There are further callings too. Yours by matrimony to be husbands and wives. Mine by ordination to be a priest. Today we hear a famous story about another calling of a prophet. This is how the prophet Samuel was called. As a boy, Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli the high priest. It was night, and the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," who said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, thinking it was him, saying, "Here I am, you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Go and lie down again." Again the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and the Lord went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." He said, "I didn't call, go and lie down." And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me."